Welcome to the sound file on the history surrounding the homes on Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary, which was home to the Masterman and Chauncey families. The home is called Day Dawn, and it was here that one of Australia's most successful children's authors grew up, Nan Masterman, or Nan Chauncey as she became known when she'd married. The existing home, built out of solid concrete, much like a rammed earth construction, replaced a timber home that was pulled down. The original home was situated quite near to where the existing interpretation centre is, and that, incidentally, is very near the toilet block, just in case you were wondering where it is. Day Dawn was also home to Heather Chauncey, the only child of Nan and Anthony Chauncey. Here's Heather to take up the story.
This was 1914 when they bought the land here, which was also a little unfortunate. My mother can remember hearing the First World War had been declared when they were staying in a house down in Baghdad. So the twins were 14. The eldest brother, Kay, went with the RAF to the First World War and was taken prisoner of war. But the rest of them used to play here, but they used to think it was screamingly funny to sort of leave the governess and the two little ones down in the creek below us and run up here and hide from them in the cave. You can't actually quite visualise your teenagers doing that in this day and age. Neither do you see them going out with the governess, I suppose. It was a totally different way of life for them, and they found the whole thing really exciting and really impressive, which is why I think it has had an enormous influence on my mother's writing. This was the setting for her first book that was published, They Found a Cave, which she had published in 1948. She was writing it all the way through the Second World War. But her parents sort of settled here. They built a slab hut. Now, unfortunately, grandmother had to live in a slab hut, which wasn't quite her thing. She had a huge garden right down to the creek, where basically the bottom picnic ground is now, and they had orchards from there across to the little cottage.
The cottage, as Heather calls it, is actually the existing home that you can arrange to visit. You have to make a booking with the caretakers to do that, but it's well worth a visit, even to just wander around outside and sit and contemplate how life must have been in the very early days after the family moved here from rural England.
The cottage was built on land paid for by Uncle Kay, who was at the wars, money that he got as a soldier during the war. He asked for it to go to buy some land next door to his father's, and his father designed and built the cottage with help from the next brother down, Jan, who also later on went into civil engineering, particularly concrete engineering, in fact. And the house is a very early expression, which I think probably the first in Tasmania, of a poured concrete construction. It's almost impossible to do anything to it. It's beautifully solid and weatherproof, but of course you can't alter anything in it. If you go back and have a look at it later on, the house is open after 2 o'clock some days, you can see exactly how it's been poured. You put your planks in, you pour concrete in, you wait till it sets, you take your planks off, put them up the next layer, pour more concrete in. It's very thick. It's quite an interesting piece of construction. So that cottage survived. They moved back to town in the end because it was extremely difficult for them. Most of their money and funds were coming from England. And of course there wasn't much in the way of transport to bring stuff out from England. What was going was mostly going there and then going off elsewhere. So they kept running out of money here. They knew nothing about farming, and farming and in fact orcharding in this valley is not a very good option. The whole of Baghdad Valley used to be orchards, but it's too cold and too dry, so that our fruit was always late getting to the wharves, late getting to Britain, which is where most of the fruit from here used to go. But all through that time, this block was kept, so that when my parents married, they met on a Dutch cargo boat coming out from England. My mother was coming out to grandfather's 80th birthday. She'd been living in England for some years, wintering in Denmark, where she taught at the Danish Girl Guide finishing school. And my father was a refugee from Germany at the time. Hitler was sort of busily coming into power. We're talking now about 1938. He had managed to get out to England, but he couldn't get permission to settle there. So he came on out to Australia, which did accept him. And as I say, they met on the Dutch cargo boat, and they got married 3 or 4 months later in Geelong, and Kay gave them the cottage, and it was only about 25, 30 acres round it at that time. My father felt that that would be a large enough area to sort of make a small living on, because coming from Germany, that would have been a reasonable size small farm, which of course it isn't here. He had a degree in agriculture and was interested in wildlife. He'd specialised in deer preservation there. When he came here, he realised that you really couldn't do that. What we did was to import the first pedigree Zahn and goats, which we kept mainly for children who couldn't use cow's milk. And of course, there were no formulas in those days, so we sold goats and goats' milk. Mainly, we just sold the kids to people who needed them. And we bred dogs, and he worked around in the district. My mother did a lot of writing. She had been writing for many years by that time, but had nothing published. But she wrote a lot of scripts for the ABC in those days and gave a lot of talks. She would give talks on all sorts of subjects for them. Dr. Tenniswood was in charge of that area at the time. And later on, she also dramatised books. They had a series of book dramatisations that they ran every week, and she would be sent the books and turn them into a script that it could be run for, I think it was about 30 minutes. I remember taking part in one of them, Timpert Till. They ran out of boys' voices for it and called me in to do that. So that she had done a lot of that sort of writing, and in between times she was trying to write. She had started an adult novel, but she decided to try and write a children's book, which was They Found a Cave, which had this setting and was based to a certain extent on her own experience and her children's experience, experience of her childhood. I never went into the bush alone. I would go down to the creek from the house and play in that, but I never went up here by myself. I wasn't encouraged to do so. It's not a very good thing for a small child to do. And I usually would have one of the dogs with me anyway. I go up on the hill at the back of the house. There was plenty to do around the house. I had plenty of pets. I had the creek to play in. I mostly played in the creek if it wasn't too high, in flood or something. Because running water is something that has movement, and I got to know all the different tadpoles and all that sort of thing. The robins were around. They used to nest, the forest robins used to nest under the eaves quite a lot. Things nested in the garden. Wrens and things, eastern spinebills used to nest in the garden, all the small things would be around. The pardalotes used to nest on the bank by the gate, they probably still do. There are masses of small birds in this sort of area. They're more down by the creek, we'll find more of them down there. Wrens and things will be back down there, and you can hear the bronze-winged cuckoos calling, and you can also hear the pigeons, all these. At this time of year, there's a lot of birds calling, a lot of young birds about.
As you gaze down from the existing house site towards the flats below and the creek, there's a sense of abandonment, of time having passed, and nature starting to reclaim what was once hers. There are clear areas where once orchards grew. Down on the creek, if you look hard, you can find the remains of a dam that diverted water to the orchards and gardens. The original timber home was pulled down once the concrete cottage was finished.
This area, just at the beginning of it, is where the original Masterman house was built. It was only a wooden structure, but it did have brick chimneys, and you can see little depressions in the ground to the side here where most of it was originally built. It was taken down after they sold this section of land, just keeping Uncle Kay's section over by the house. And the chimney was then used by various people in the district, told me that they had, you know, bricks from the chimney were used to build their own fireplaces, which before that hadn't had brick fireplaces. The gardens that my grandmother planned went right from here across the main paddock there and right across the creek. It was a huge garden, and they had orchards to the left. Not a very good orcharding place, but never mind. They tried hard. At that time, it was better rainfall than it is now, and also, of course, it was newly cleared land, so everything grew very well for the first half dozen years, so they did quite well with it, and they grew an enormous amount of their own fruit and vegetables. The orchards were mostly, I think, apples, though by the time I was growing up here, they had all gone. There were cherry plum trees. I don't know why anybody grows cherry plums. And there were also quince trees still along the creek, which went on living there up until we had a bushfire through the creek bed, which took them out. But quince trees are nice, long-living things. Basically, timber slab cottage, quite small. I don't know really quite how they fitted them all in, because there were the parents, the nursery governess, and six kids. But they did all, I think the boys probably slept on the veranda, and they didn't actually live up here for a very great length of time. The older children were going to boarding school, and they were sort of more up here for holidays, really, than an enormously long time. And once they'd got the other cottage for Uncle Kay built, and he was away at the First World War, so that reduced them by one, it meant that some of them could sleep over there as well, which made things a bit easier, I think. But it was not a big place. Of course, certainly the laundry part and probably the kitchen were not actually in the house, because you didn't really build those inside the house at that time, particularly if the house was wooden. Same thing applies to my house in town now, which was built in 1840 and had none of those things indoors. You had separate establishment for that. And my grandmother did have a bit of help in the house from somebody who came over from East Baghdad. She used to walk over the hill down to here, do housework, do some laundry, back over the hill. Quite an effort, but, you know, quite happily did it in those days. Everybody did these things.
This is the second last sound file on Chauncey Vale, so I hope you've enjoyed them all so far. And by the way, if you have any questions or queries, or you feel an urge to offer a helping hand with any of the TLC projects, feel free to contact the Tasmanian Land Conservancy. The contact details are on the website. Now, just before I go, if you get a chance, make sure you book an appointment and have a look through the house. It's a fascinating glimpse into the lives of the Chauncey family.